If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love and light of the Most Radiant One. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening, our topic is playing the game of life. Full on. Are you ready? Game on. So let's start with an integrative exercise. And reach into your inner awareness as high as you can. Position yourself. And consciously connect with your divine I Am presence. That would be you, one with God. Take a deep breath. And bring that down to the top of your head, quickening and activating your pineal, pituitary, and hypothalamus. Down to the brainstem, the cerebral spinal fluid. Down through all the nadis, all of the inner and outer connected points of the nervous system. See them fire and activate and emblazon themselves with as much light as you can for your highest good and highest potential. Quicken at this time and feel that light all the way down into your feet and your toes. And now send it deep into the soul star in the center of the earth, taking another breath if you need to do that, so that you're connected from the very highest point of the divine within you, anchored and embodied fully and deeply into this precious being that we call Earth. And be present fully, here and now. So let me ask you, are you participating in the game of your life full on? Did you know that the way out is to enter fully in? Yes. That unhappiness that so many seem to feel, it's because you've never really shown up in your game plan. You're still hanging out in the wishes and the wants and the fantasies and would be, should be, could be, wish I was, you know, all of that stuff. But you know what? We've made up and designed every intricate detail of the game plan for our life. And then, we've forgotten we've done so. So, let me ask you, are you enjoying your life? Or are you, like many people today, wishing that you could be someone else, someplace else, with someone else? And is that wish an idle fantasy? Or, in reality, is it a viable option for you? Or have you ever considered whether or not what you're really fantasizing about is an option for you in this time, in this life? You know, making peace with that which is and accepting your life and yourself as it is the very first key to freeing yourself and releasing yourself into a greater good. Here's your first key. Are you ready? Consider every situation and event in your life as something that you wanted to have happen. Yes, that you in your highest wisdom have chosen so that a higher purpose could be served. And look and be aware. Sometimes this is easier in hindsight, that there's something positive to be gained in everything you've had to go through in your life. This is regardless of what the details are. And here's your exercise if you'd like to participate in it. Ask yourself, why did I create this, say, for example, financial challenge for myself? And then write down the answer. You do know the answer. You've just perhaps never given yourself the opportunity to respond. It's really interesting. I had one of those aha epiphanies myself today. I was limping around the house and my physical body was hurting a lot, and I'd been praying to have certain condition in my physical body healed. And it hasn't been happening. So today was so simply revealed to me as I was limping up the stairs. All of a sudden, I heard inwardly, that's the only way we could keep you from dashing around all over this planet. Duh, that never occurred to me. I'm one of these kamikaze light worker type persons. That's like the Energizer rabbit. I never know when to turn off. I never know when to stop. I had become a human doing instead of a human being. And I think that's true with a lot of us that create situations that impede us or, put us out of commission physically at the level that we're used to operating at. But I had to laugh. You know, the answer was so obvious. And I had been looking everywhere but at the obvious. So take a look at your life and your circumstance, your situation, and everything, your health, your relationships, your finances, what has happened, you know, with these earth changes. Was your home under the floodwaters or blown away in the storm, or what has been going down in your life? Why did, for example, you might ask yourself, why did my home go into foreclosure? Why did I get laid off? Why did I have that accident? Why did I get that illness? And you know, sometimes we just need to be stopped and redirected into a new direction in our life. And you know what? There will come a time in which usually after some time has elapsed when it will be very clear to you why these things happened, why you orchestrated that event. But don't be angry at God. God gave each one of us free will as souls to orchestrate events in our life for our own self-mastery. Because each time you finish an incarnation, you are asked by the karmic board or your master teachers, what do you feel that you need still to master or complete in your life? Where do you feel you had your successes? Where do you feel that you failed? Where would you like to have another opportunity to go through it again, perhaps, and fine-tune it? And we as a soul alone make those decisions at that wise place that we are when we're out of incarnation in our soul awareness and everything is as clear as it can be. So trust the wisdom of your life plan and always ask for grace and ease. Because there's two ways to go through life. You can go through life under the karmic law of necessity, or you can allow the Holy Spirit to guide you and have ease and grace and facilitation into a higher way of going through the same situation. The one way is the ego's way, which would be under the law of grace, karma, reward and punishment, that kind of a context. And then grace, where you accept that one came before you that was elder and wiser in the form of your brother Jesus, who completed everything without falling asleep and played the game full on, but never lost awareness of who and what he was in God and as God eternally. So when you can play your game without losing awareness of who you are, you have mastered the game of life. But on this planet, the evolutionary line is to move from animal-human, unconscious, largely governed by instinct, to becoming fully human, operating with a rational mind, practical ways, to a superhuman that operates through divine inspiration and intuition. And those of us that have come in from other planetary realms are still neophytes when it comes to operating in the human third-dimensional life. So there's always something that we need to master. And Earth is a school for self-mastery. Your daily life and all the experiences in your life are operational arenas through which you can practice your spiritual athletics. So sometimes we're, you know, as a soul, we orchestrate a situation in life so that we're forced to let go and release, usually of something that we're clinging to that actually is holding us back from what we truly want. We don't see it as that at the time. But if we could understand that this is something I've created, I want this, I wanted this to happen, and then find the pony under the pile, if you will. Because that is serving in your self-mastery. So sometimes we're put in a position, too, where we actually need a miracle. And then perhaps for the first time we experience God up close and personally. And sometimes we need to learn to trust that we will be provided for, because we're part of a loving universe. And that's something you can never forget, is that this is a love-based creation. God is love, creation, and your very soul and spirit are made of the warp and woof of divine love. And everything in life looks at you with benevolent and loving eyes. Yes, all of the boogeymen are of your own fabrication. Jesus said it when he said, "Lo, my enemies are of mine own household." He was speaking of his household of consciousness. And so the only enemies we ever have to ward off are those fear-born thoughts of separation and alienation. So in my profession as a starseed activator and counselor, I often encounter people who have a great longing to return home, a home that they sense is not this planet. And many want to be reunited with their true love, with their twin flames. Many of these twin flames they envision as being up in the Ashtar Command or on another planet. And then there are others who are going to great lengths to ascend in this lifetime or to attain spiritual liberation through vigorous spiritual practices. And they become so self-focused that they never awaken beyond the dream of separation from the very thing they think they have to attain. You see, this whole storyline of being separate from anyone or anything is something you've entirely made up. It's impossible for you to be separated from anything. Certainly from anyone or anything that you love. For example, how could you ever be separate from your twin flame? You're one soul, one essence, one voice, one presence. How can you ever be separated? Oh, sure, one is probably in the objective, and one stays in the subjective. That way, when you cross the dimensions, you've got someone at home that can make sure you make it all the way through those dimensions back to that unified field. So again, if you feel that your twin flame, your soulmate, is on another dimension, planet, or level of existence, that is for the purpose so that you have someone that can assure that you make it all the way through this dimensional shift and back at their side in the best and easiest way possible. Can you see that as a team effort? You don't need to define yourself in terms of loneliness and separation and they're there and I'm here. That's the illusion. Also, many of you have descended from previously ascended states. So for you to focus on ascension is ridiculous. You're here to help others to raise their vibration into one of undifferentiated oneness and loving. Also, who told you you were not spiritually liberated? Why would you identify with a self that is not liberated? Why do you see yourself as a neophyte or as a beginner or as a, what would you call it, an unliberated person? I often ask people when they make statements of limitation, I often say, what proof do you have that you're not liberated? How do you know you're not ascended? You know, what part of you are you identifying as soul? So the one characteristic I've noticed in every instance where people present this kind of an understanding, or lack of awareness, I should say, is that none of these people are present here and now, and none of them are happy. You can't be happy if you're not here, present. In fact, the very sign that you're not fully engaged in the game of your life is that you're not present. You're lingering and hanging on to the past, or you're projecting into the future, or you're in a state of distraction here and now, but you're not fully present, and that's why you're not happy. So the key of life is to fully participate with what is, as long as it is, and give it your best shot with all that you've got. And when you do that, you feel a tremendous sense of fulfillment. There's nothing that feels so great as to participate and use yourself. You know, the body was designed to be used physically. The mind was designed to be used intellectually and inspirationally. The emotions are designed to be exercised in loving and caring and service-oriented ways. In ways of empathy. You know, every part of us is designed to be used. And your spiritual essence is designed to be used to be the very image of divinity walking in the human form. So, everyone that comes with a story which implies that they're not fully present here and now also felt lonely and isolated. And interestingly enough, almost invariably they had money problems and relationship issues. Yep, money and relationship issues come with not being willing to be fully participatory in your life. Isn't that interesting? So it's like nothing in your life really wants to support you until you really support yourself in your life. Anyway, I observed that in nearly every case, these people were denying, resisting, and rejecting life here and now in the physical dimension. And, you know, in their current situation, whatever it was. Now, as a result of not participating in the game, they felt sidelined and out of the game. And as a result, downcast and dejected. You know, a game is only fun when you're participating in it full on. it's not much fun sitting on the sidelines. Sai Baba used to say to us very often, life is a game. Play it. Life is a dream. Realize it. Life is love. Enjoy it. So take a look at your own situation, because that's always the place to start. It's actually the place to end also. But are you wishing that you could be someplace else right now? Are you longing to be with someone or to have or experience something that is simply not available or an option at this time? What a recipe for frustration. Why do you do that to yourself? For example, if you considered that the planet that you are so homesick for is not in the same dimension where you're currently residing. It's in another dimension. Consider that twin flame you're longing for up in a spaceship is in an etheric light body, in a higher dimension of existence, and you are not. So what is more fulfilling? A warm, loving relationship with another human being in the same dimension, or an ethereal fantasy in your dreams? I mean, sometimes, you know, just being very practical with that which is just the simplest approach in the world to adopt in your life. You are here on Earth, manifesting through a physical embodiment by your own choice and election. You have forgotten that you've chosen this life to be exactly as it is. But you know what? That doesn't change the fact that it is your choice that has brought you here. You know, in fact, I think the best way I know to assure a quick return to this earthly dimension is to reject and resist your current physical life. You know, when you go back on those inner planes for that interview, and they say, well, what, you know, how do you evaluate your life? And what if you have to say, wow, I never really got the whole point. I never entered the game at all. So I think maybe I better redo it. That's going to be an awful thing. Because I think very many souls have the opportunity this lifetime to make this their last lifetime. But you don't get that last lifetime resisting the very life plan that you have exercised as an option. So the way out, beloved, is to first enter fully in to your life. Be present in your body, here and now. Get grounded. Get here. Get with the program. Many of you have never fully integrated and grounded yourselves into the full physical embodiment. That's why I start every one of these seminars with you taking a deep breath and bringing that energy of your spirit, soul, and higher presence down into your physical body and grounding it. Simplest way to do that is with your breath, with an intention. You call yourself in, you reel yourself in like a big cosmic fish. However you do it, get in here. And that's why you feel unhappy and your life seems dull and flat. It is, if you haven't shown up. You are the light. You are the life. You are the sparkle and vitality. And that's you as a soul, as a spirit. So the trick is to fully participate in the game of life and to enjoy it to the max, but to not forget who and what you are as a spiritual being having a human experience. The human being, as I've said before, is the only creation in the cosmos that is such a hybrid homogenization of all the kingdoms of nature. You have within your physical body the minerals, the plants, the animals, the human, the elemental, the devic, the angelic, and the divine, all homogenized as wavelength frequencies and creational modulations of light and sound integrated into human biosphere. Your emotional range is unique. You're a full spectrum analyzer that can process any level of consciousness, any temperature of emotion, any wavelength of thought, from the most unenlightened to the most brilliantly God-realized, all within your human biosphere. How awesome is that? So when we speak of enjoying the game of life, there's actually two kinds of enjoyment. One is what the let's say, average unawakened person considers enjoying life, which is really a form of escaping, being fully present. And the enjoyment one experiences from the awakened, spiritually integrated state, which is one of being fully turned on and present in your life, which is really to be ecstatically alive. The average unawakened person, on the other hand, avoids participating by staying unconscious. So the unawakened individual denies conscious awareness through habits that foster unconsciousness, such as constant outer preoccupation and noise, or rushing about and busyness, or addictive habit patterns, or superficial involvements, and avoiding considering the big issues of life, like, who am I? Why am I here? What is the purpose of life? Where will I be when I die? So, people who are unawakened are often referred to as being sound asleep. They're oblivious to true life as it's meant to be. And they are, in fact, spiritually dead. There's a body walking about, but there's nobody home and the lights are turned off. And these are the people that we encounter every day. They're the ones that are sad, depressed, lackluster, and they always have an endless litany of complaints and grouses. They want somebody to do something to change the very circumstances that they've set up to address in this lifetime. And they're pretending that their problems are somebody else's fault and somebody else's responsibility to fix. But you know what? No one, not even the Lord himself, will interfere with your free will as a soul in what you've set up as your life plan. You yourself have deemed your life with its necessary learning experiences. And everyone honors that. And that is what people, you know, so often forget, that God has endowed each one of us with free will and will never interfere with what we set up in motion. That is, unless you specifically ask for God to take over and to show you his highest divine design for your life. Again, there's a choice between the hard way, which would be karma and reincarnation, or the easy way, freedom of soul through grace. So you're left to run your own ego's agenda for as long as you like. And the minute you resist, the divine spirit will back off. That resistance is what is blocking that divine insight and that happy alternative from appearing. When you resist, you're saying to God, no, I want it my way. And God says, okay, suit yourself. So one of the ways I see people blocking the very answers they're seeking is by not listening, not paying full attention when information is being conveyed. So often they'll interrupt to defend their position or to say something that they already know, I already know that. They haven't even heard everything that's being said. they've already jumped to the conclusion that they have the answers. So there's no point for them to listen. That's a typical ego defense, by the way. And the ego will always use some sort of dismissive attitude. Now, all of the cynicism and all of the sarcasm and the jaded attitudes, those are all the dismissive attitudes of that ego self that has an agenda to keep you lost in your thinking so that you never move to your knowing. The whole agenda of the ego is to keep you unconscious. And every time you get lost in your thinking, you go unconscious of your knowing. So the ego is that very resistance that wants to edge God out. And it always comes from a place of pride and arrogance. Who are they to tell me? I know better than they. I'm more evolved than they are. You know, when you're truly a humble seeker, you can learn from anyone at any time, anywhere. And there's so many stories of the great sages and sadhus of India who found their master in a beggar's disguise, or as a untouchable, or somebody that was of the lowest possible caste and position in life. But they never really appeared as a master. They had to be spiritually discerned. But when a seeker is open and humble of spirit, that seeker regards everyone as their teacher. Everyone can be your teacher and is meant to be your teacher. So we're the student of everyone in this life. Everyone is the guru. Everyone is the master to the sincere seeker. So God will speak to you through any available means. And that can be that person you're sitting next to on a bus, or that person on the street corner asking for a handout, or that person you're sitting across from in a restaurant. But the sincere seeker is always an attentive listener. So listening and paying attention is one of the ways we participate fully in our life. When you are listening, do only that. Just take in the information fully. Don't evaluate the content while you're listening. Suspend your critiquing. Just listen. Many people are so busy setting up resistance and voicing objections to what is being shared that they're not fully participating in the communication at all. They are busy being loyal to what they think they know. And that's what blocks the divine spirit. It just backs right off at that point. Another way we block fully participating and being present fully here and now is by mixing activities that deserve their own time and place. For example, you go out with someone to spend quality time with them, but every few minutes, they or you answer your cell phone. Or you're supposed to be paying attention fully to your driving, but at the same time you're texting or you're on your cell phone. These are inappropriate areas where you mix things and rob yourself of a fully present experience here and now of that which is to be experienced. And these may seem like little things to you, but they're all signs of resistance to being fully present and available to spirit. Remember, the divine spirit is always here and now, not in the past and not in the future, here and now. Or to put it another way, you could look at resistance as being unavailable to yourself. When you're unavailable to yourself, you're also unavailable to your relationships. And therefore, you're unavailable to real life, and life and God are one. Well, personally, I don't have a cell phone. and I don't answer phone calls. I set up specific times to talk to people by phone. And when I phone someone, I'm there 100% with them and in service to them. I don't have any other focus. I observed that with Sai Baba. No matter who he was with, he gave them his full attention, and you had the feeling like you were the only person that existed in the universe when he was looking at you and speaking with you. And he was that way with everything that he did. He gave it his full attention. And we know that he's a God-conscious being who's also omnipresent in you know, 7 billion lives on this planet, not to mention the lives on the other planets at the same time. And yet in his human expression, he was very focused here and now with everyone. I personally find it extremely disrespectful when someone calls me from their car or while standing in line at Starbucks or some social function. You know, there's a time and a place for everything. And every relationship with anyone at any time deserves your full loving respect and attention. And remember, your only relationship, truly speaking, is with God in the form of that person. Another common way that we avoid fully participating in the game plan we've set up in our life is trying to dodge responsibility for what we've attracted into our life. You know, that very problem, as you see it, is the very lesson that you've set up to confront in this lifetime and to master. For example, if you set up a series of failures, perhaps it's because you could in the process discern what you're really good at doing. It's wise to consider failures and closed doors as indicators pointing you and encouraging you to keep moving forward. So you don't give up. You keep moving forward. You know, it's always a matter of next, next, next. So life is not a destination. It's a process of experimenting with various people and different situations and to see if you can master spiritual awareness. Can you train yourself to stay spiritually connected and aware of your oneness with God, no matter what? Can you remember that that person in your face is the one divine beloved, regardless of their behavior? Can you be a good sport and allow others to win, have the last word, be right, say something you don't agree with or like without your voicing your objection? Hey, if you can do that, you're starting to master this game of life. You know, here's a challenge for your week ahead, if you should choose to exercise it. What if each day you set before yourself one thing to remember, that you are divine? And so is everyone you encounter. I am divine. And then everyone that comes to you, just pretend, if you have to, just pretend that that is God and that God is pretending to be that person in front of you. And that's actually the truth. But you can make it part of your daily game plan. You know, you can make the game of life so fun and so enjoyable if you realize it is a game. And it's one that you made up. And it's one that you've forgotten that you've made up. And it's important that you've forgotten, otherwise it wouldn't be a game. So honor your forgetting. Honor your remembering. Honor your practice. And honor your process. And cut yourself some slack and realize that you're doing the best that you know how, given your karma given your challenges, given your personal inadequacies, and that with God's grace and assistance, you're going to do just fine. So don't try to edge God out. Partner with God in your life. Walk with God. Talk with God. Ask for feedback. Ask for what you need. Spirit isn't going to inflict upon you uninvited. The Holy Spirit always has to be welcomed and invited and encouraged to participate with you. But the Holy Spirit backs off the minute that resistance, the minute that pride, arrogance, ego, that self-effrontery, the minute that presents, the dove of the Holy Spirit flies off. Because like the dove, the Holy Spirit only comes where there's one accord, when there's harmony. The Holy Spirit will never come when there's any dissonance of disagreement or disagreeableness. That's very important as part of your spiritual discipline, is to keep centered, keep in the peace of God, keep in the calmness of God, keep in the love of God. Feel yourself getting a little bit riled up. Go apart. Take a deep breath. Drink some cold water. Be silent. Don't think about or say things that are going to inflame that negative ego. Stay in the peace of God. That's where you belong. That's where you'll find your happiness and your support spiritually. But do observe that how you are very much influences how people react to you, how the events around you will play out. Your attitude has everything to do with what happens in your immediate environment. I remember my sister-in-law, who was the wife of a Unity minister and a ordained minister herself. She was on a subway in New York City, and a man came up behind her in an overcoat and stuck a, I assume it was a knife. It had a sharp point, she said, in her ribs, and said, "Shut up, lady, or this will be your last breath, life." And she turned around with all the composure, and she said, "The Christ in me loves and salutes the Christ in you." Just like that, soft, gentle voice. Well, he dropped the knife, and he ran down the car, got off at the next exit. So her centeredness and her composure and her awareness that she was divine, and so was that would-be assassin, caused the whole dynamic to shift. Another friend of mine, he was in West Los Angeles, and he went to get in his car, and several thugs grabbed him and forced him into the back seat and took over his car. But instead of being angry and irate and fearful, he said, "Hey, you guys, what can I do to serve you? What is it that you need? You know, I'm a minister, and I can see that you folks have some need. I'd be real happy to see what I could do to help you." They were so taken aback and so shocked by his uncommon response and his centered composure that they ended up driving around. They didn't commit any crime at all. And finally, they parted friends, and they let him go. They gave him back his keys and his car and went on their way, hopefully to make other choices in their future. So when you're in a very dire situation, another key is to practice very uncommon, unusual speech and demeanor. If you talk in a normal and centered and caring voice, very often you can deflect a would-be attacker. Not always, but sometimes you can. Just all depends on what you have orchestrated as your experience that you want to have. But you never have to orchestrate painful and harmful and abusive experiences for yourself. That's really not necessary. That would be where a soul that's been an abuser in the past comes back feeling that somehow he has to experience that just as a form of self-punishment. But that's not necessary. That is where grace comes in. Because Jesus the Christ already took all of those aberrated behavioral patterns upon his own body and suffered in your place so that you could step free through grace. That's the difference between operating under the law of karma and accepting the gift of Christ, which is grace. He became the scapegoat, the fall guy, the person that ate the whole, you know, crow, feathers and all, drank the bitter draught, whatever you want to call the crucifixion. That horrible, horrible experience he used to set man free. And then set man free from the curse of death itself by proving that you could resurrect your body to eternal life, because that's the truth. The death is the illusion. Eternal life is the truth. So because he was the very embodiment of truth itself, he couldn't even stay dead, except as a temporary lesson that he passed through quickly for our sake. So choose grace. Choose grace. And observe how you treat people, because that's kind of how you treat yourself. So treat yourself as God's holy temple. God lives inside you, dwells in you as the Holy Spirit, lives in you as you. And God lives in everyone as that person. And that is why the master lesson to be learned in this divine game of life is to love all and serve all and to forgive everyone everything. Because in highest truth, they're only operating on the game plan that you've allotted them. They're playing out the roles that you've cast them in. No one has done anything to you. And your worst enemy is your best friend who's come to enact that role so that you could be set free. So if you just do the best that you know how and participate fully in your life with loving attentiveness and doing the best you can to stay present with your process here and now, you'll soon discover that you're home free, that the game has been won and transcended. And game, you know, game on. And life is a game to be played, to be enjoyed, to be appreciated as it is for what it is. It's a means for soul to attain and experience self-mastery. So honor your game. And I wanted to share with you, too, that there, for the very first time in human history, humanity as a whole is receiving the direct energy of the will of God. And the will of God is known at the human being's level, at what we call the level of the spirit, or the monad. That's your I am presence. And so the will of God impacts and quickens the sense of awakening to your divine purpose. It's actually the wind at your back at this time. And that's why many people are at this time awakening. And there's a place where the will of God is known and anchored on this planet. And it's a place called Shambhala, which is an actual physical, it's in the physical etheric, but it's an actual physical dwelling where the logos of this planet, Sanat Kumara, and the masters of the hierarchy have council meetings, and many dwell therein. And all of us have an anchoring there within the I Am presence. So there's a part of us that has access to the kingdom of Shambhala. And that Shambhalic energy used to be stepped down through the masters of the spiritual hierarchy and then directed to the higher, more evolved initiates in the human kingdom. But this is the first time that humanity as a collective is now receiving and stepping down the will of God from Shambhala. Now, I'm sharing this because when that energy impacts humanity, it's so powerful that it actually has different effects depending upon the receivership and the degree of receptivity, let's say, of that human instrument, that human person, or that group of persons in the nations and in the different areas of the planet. So the very fact that humanity is receiving this influx of the will of God indicates a measure of spiritual contact and integration that's been achieved by humanity as a whole. That means humanity is awakening as a group soul. So these are all very positive indicators. But what's also happening is that this influx of powerful energy is producing much of the conflict that we see in the outer world, because it's a new, unaccustomed, powerful energy, and it tends to flow where people are polarized. Therefore, the ego-driven will use this energy to promote separative, selfish, personal power interests and agendas, whereas the disciples and initiates of the world will use the same energy to shift the global paradigm from one of conflict to cooperation for the highest good of all. So humanity as a whole is advancing as a group initiate. And with every individual a consciousness unit or soul, there is a level of testing now that's in place to determine which level of advancement they will be able to matriculate into. So can you see how vast and all-inclusive this divine game plan is? And how important your personal contribution is to the collective? That's why I often encourage people to live, to work, to teach, to express from their highest level. You know, you don't have to dumb down or dim down. You can be that person of impeccability, of character, wherever you are. That character has come from many lifetimes of spiritual endeavor. So be the finest character you possibly can be in your life. Have that integrity, that composure, that equanimity, that centeredness that will have people flocking to be in your presence. You won't have to worry about relationships when you live centered in your truth. You won't have to worry about finances, because the whole universe will rush to support someone who's become the living love. So, with great spiritual infusion, this increased energy must find ever-expanding avenues of expression. And in the initiate, this is where your inventions and your new ideas in every area of human involvement are to come forward. And that's why you tap into a greater resourcefulness when you have transcended your personal self-interest and you're beginning to live within the greater game plan of an evolving human paradigm. And you become an inlet and a source through which divine creative intelligence can flow with new ideas, new inventions, new approaches, new protocols, new forms of governing, everything. Everything becomes enhanced as you step aside from your personal, let's say, self-defeating interpretations of your life and begin to be a player on the bigger levels and issues of life. That would be you, turned on and creatively expressing according to your personal bent and preference and interests and talents. Because you who are the ground crew are needed in every single area of human life. The two areas that have the greatest need right now are the financial arenas and the arenas of governance. Yeah, all the levels of leadership. We are really, really needing empowered, impassioned, soul-infused, spiritually awakened leadership and visionaries. We need people with vision that can direct us into new areas that we haven't perhaps tried before. And we have to have the willingness not to resist and fight and block those who bring forward these new ideas. Because they may work, they may not work, but we'll never know if we don't let them have some arena to be exercised in. So see what it is that you've come to contribute. What is it that is your particular gift, your thread to add to the tapestry of life? And get busy. Game on. Get on with it. But get down here, get in your body, get excited about your life, find something that's worth living for, worth putting all of your creative expertise into, and let's transition this planet through grace, through ease. Let's not go into those old patterns of the ego, of conflict and warfare and hatred and againstness. Let's pledge ourselves to non-cooperation with againstness in any form. Let's be proactive for all of humanity so that we see each other as one family under one creator with one divine game plan to share this beautiful, magnificent, ever-expanding, loving creation with joy and ever-expansive participation as divine co-participants in ongoing creation, cosmic creation. So that's my thought for the moment. I hope that this has been of inspiration to you. And let's chant on IQ. And as we do, let's just have an intention that it goes forth to bless every man, woman, and child on this beautiful planet with greater spiritual light and awareness, and above all, a sense of the ever-enfolding love of the Divine Presence. Deep breath. God willing, I'll be with you this time next week. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Adonai.